Welcome to Believe in Celtics, brought to you by Bet Online. I am Warren Shaw. He is the great Gary Washburn, and we are your host and resource for everything this Celtics season. Gary, as always, brother, how you doing, man?
Good. Happy holidays to everybody, and Merry Christmas to those who celebrate Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all the holidays. Happy to all those, and yeah, the basketball season's just starting to kick in now, almost a third way through the season, a little bit more than that, and so things are starting to shake up a little bit, and we're starting to find out some answers to some questions.
Oh, I love what you said right there, too. You know, definitely starting to see what the situation is. And the NBA obviously utilizes Christmas Day, you know, as kind of its coming out party. It's kind of the tail end of the NFL season. Unfortunately, Christmas falls on a Sunday for the NBA this year.
Yeah, that's a tough
one. NFL is taking no chill. They will still be in full throttle doing what they do. So I think the viewership might be a little bit lower than the NBA would ordinarily hope. But in general, that is kind of the plan here. You know, a lot of eyes, now it's hard to get focused as they feature kind of the marquee teams here on Christmas Day. We have a lot to discuss. You know, obviously the way the Celtics have been playing kind of in general, and definitely need to kind of get into that too. And I want to get your thoughts on some Christmas Day games. But as always, you know, we got to pay our bills first and foremost, make our folks happy over at Bet Online. So we'll be right back after this quick break, and we'll be talking a lot of Celtics basketball going into the holiday season. Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. And welcome back to Believe in Celtics, brought to you by BetOnline. Gary, so before we kind of get into the crux of the Boston Celtics conversation, let me talk to you a little bit about NBA Christmas, right? What are some of your favorite NBA Christmas memories, and what are you looking for maybe even this Christmas outside of Boston and Milwaukee, which we'll get to later on, but what are the marquee games that you're looking forward to watching even as a fan of the league?
Boy, I think it's all of them, man. You know, starts out with Knicks and Sixers, two teams that are hot, you know, really hot right now. So it's turned into a really good matchup. And then Lakers, Mavericks, I guess you have to put the Lakers on because they're the Lakers and they're LeBron, but that's probably
I guess
the least intriguing game considering the Lakers are struggling and now without Anthony Davis and they're just kind of out there again trying to figure things out. But you know, with LeBron, obviously he's a big draw. Then obviously Bucks Celtics game I'll be at will be very exciting, probably the game of the day. Then, you know, Grizzlies, Warriors with no Steph, you know, injuries are Warren taking a toll here, you know, no Steph, no AD, Grizzlies, Warriors, you know, that, you know, is it the Grizzlies' chance to kind of put a foot on the Warriors' neck in terms of, you know, showing who's king of the West right now and making a statement, even though Steph isn't there on national TV. Obviously, we don't know. We all know the Grizzlies are a team that not a lot of people watch because they, you know, they're not on national TV a whole lot. You know, we all know about Ja Morant, but he's got a lot of help down there in Memphis. So this would be a good opportunity for the Grizzlies to make a statement. And then Suns, Nuggets, that's a nice game, you know, the kind of the capper. Jokic against Booker. I mean, I look forward to all of them. You know, my favorite Christmas memories. I don't, you know, it's like I just remember being a kid. I was growing up in the 80s and seeing like they had one game, you know, generally during Christmas, you know, and seeing like, you know, it would be like one night, because it'd be like Lakers and Phoenix, or it'd be two games, maybe in the morning, or, you know, for West Coast guys, it'd be like Nets and Knicks, something like that. Celtics at Knicks. And then in the afternoon, it'd be like Lakers Suns. And I remember, like, you know, they would have the player and like a, kind of a pre-recorded thing with his family talking about, hi, I'm Michael Cooper, and this is my family, and we want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. If you remember that, you know, just like you would see the players' families, and and they'd be, there'd be big tree in the background, and then they'd be playing, you know. So it, they obviously would go to their house maybe a week before or whatever and record it or whatever. But they'd be like, hi, you know, I'm, you know, Magic Johnson, and you know, this is my son, and you know, I want to wish everybody Merry Christmas, and you know, it was hokey, but it was actually kind of cool, you know.
Yeah. So,
it was definitely interesting. It was fun those days. That's when the NBA didn't have a lot of telecasts on TV. You know, it was like, besides local telecasts, you know, I think CBS was showing like 5 to 7 games a year in those 80s times before kind of Jordan took over. And obviously the NBA going to NBC was a huge deal. You know, it's funny. It's like, I think I put on Twitter once, Warren, like, who made the bigger mistake of giving up the NBA? Was it CBS, which decided it wanted to go all in on baseball in like the late 80s, early 90s, like 1990, and they gave up the NBA rights when Jordan was like a superstar, like rising star? But no, you know, it was kind of, they hadn't won yet, so no one could be like, was trying to be like Mike yet quite much, but it was still Jordan, and then CBS gave up those rights to go all in on being a baseball network. Or NBC, who kind of gives up the NBA when LeBron's on his precipice, you know, and now ABC, yeah. ABC ain't giving that up. Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's ABC's for, it's been like that for almost 2 decades now. But remember, NBA on NBC, they gave that up, I think, the year before, or year that LeBron entered the league, right? I think I remember seeing like what those finals between like the Spurs and the Nets. That was on ABC. That might have been ABC's first. I think the last NBC finals was like maybe like Sixers Lakers in 2001, something like that, or something like that. Anyway, but it just shows you how much the coverage of the league television wise has changed. Now 5 Christmas Day games all day and all night. I mean, that's insane to me. I mean, I'm saying it's like a crazy decision, but it just shows you how much the NBA has grown. That, you know, because I remember I said growing up, it was like in the morning, it was Knicks Nets or Celtics at Nets or Celtics at Knicks, that East Coast game. You would get up 9 a.m., watch it, and then at noon or 1, it would be Lakers Suns, Lakers Spurs, whatever the decent Western Conference rivalry was. So, long answer, but my memories are just kind of just being a kid and actually having a chance to watch the NBA on Christmas Day.
Yeah, man, it's history there too. And I love even having that conversation about, you know, the networks and the TV rights, et cetera, et cetera. NBC, probably the most iconic theme song in NBA history. Totally. You know, everybody still utilizes that, I think, in, you know, retroactive ways here now. And it's just something that if you grew up in that time, you know it when you hear it. And it definitely brings back a certain level of
Michael Jordan, right? You know,
yeah.
Michael Jordan with Marv Albert.
Marv Albert, a spectacular move. Yeah.
That's what it is. And then, like, you know, goes to ABC right when kind of LeBron and G Wade and Carmelo into the league. And I don't think kids even know anything. Kids today have no idea that the NBA was on NBC or even was on CBS during those formative years when the league was growing.
Oh, man, great stuff here from Gary Washburn. A little history lesson here on the NBA TV and NBA Christmas, especially from his perspective on the West Coast. So I'll wrap it up there for that aspect of, you know, the conversation on NBA Xmas. Obviously, we have a lot of Celtics-specific conversation that we need to get to. So we'll be right back here on Believe in Celtics, brought to you by Bet Online after this commercial break. And we'll be talking a little bit about these Celtics and how they've looked lately here on Geno Time, in addition to previewing the game against the Milwaukee Bucks and some of the games going into next week. We'll be right back. And now this week's edition of Geno Time, we are talking Boston Celtics. Their recent record here, 3-5 in their last 8 games. It's been a very different run here since from what we've been used to. And now a huge, huge game against the Milwaukee Bucks, now the Eastern Conference leading Milwaukee Bucks, I believe. You know, as we record, the Bucks have caught the Celtics in the standing as the Celtics have more or less just slipped, unfortunately. So things we need to kind of discuss here, Gary. So this offense was first in the league has now dropped to second, which is obviously terrible. But in the last eight games, they are 30th in offensive rating, dead last. What has happened to this offense? Where has the shooting gone? And I understand there's a regression because they're probably hotter than was realistically expected to be maintained. But it's such a drastic drop off. And those two games versus Orlando were really rough to watch. To get just rocked out that first game, and then a more competitive game with Tatum out, you know, attending Deuce's birthday, you know, nothing wrong with that. And then, you know, just getting lambasted and booed by the Indiana Pacers and make a furious comeback that ultimately falls short. What are you seeing? What is the team saying about specifically this offense? We'll talk about the defense in a little bit too, but why has offense just been so rough and hard to watch here the last couple of games?
Yeah, Warren, this is just missing shots and then settling too much. And teams have figured out, Warren, a way to defend them. That's go big. If you look at the losses that the Celtics have, two against the Bulls, which has kind of turned out to be kind of inexplicable, right? Like the Bulls have handled them twice at home. I mean, like without much, you know, issue. The two losses to the Cavaliers, two losses to the Magic, six of their 10 losses have been to teams that just play big, right? Mm. The Magic are a big team. The Wagner brothers, Banchero, and they bring Bobo off the bench and Mo Bamba off the bench. Yeah. I mean, they're a big team, and they pack the paint, and they dare to sell to shoot three-pointers, and all those guys are struggling. Derek White has been, like, shooting sub 30% this month. Sam Howell's are the same thing from three, and it gets to the point of if Sam Hauser isn't hitting threes, why is he on the floor, right? And I'm not ripping him. He tries on defense. I'm not saying, like, you know, yank him or bench him, but his main number one job is hit the open three, Sam. And he's not doing that. He was doing that. I think he shot 40-something percent in November, and now he's at, I think, at 25% in December. Derek White, the same thing. Remember, we all said, oh, this is the new Derek White. This is the Derek White that the Celtics wanted to get. This is the guy who's now he's settled into his role. He's relaxed, full training camp, confident. He's turned into the last year NBA Finals Derek White. Over, I mean, I just want open shots. I think he airballed one against the Pacers. Open looks, missing them. Open floaters, missing them. I mean, you know, he did not record a field goal in that game. If you're going to start in this league, Warren, you got to score, like, unless you're a great defender.
Yeah.
So you can't go 0 for 6 unless you're grabbing 10 boards and getting 4 steals. Like, you got to make yourself of use. And they got guys out there now that are struggling that are not useful. You know, and I just think that overall the shooting's gone down. Jalen has not been good. It's now, you know, kind of turned back into turnover Jalen, where it's not necessarily the dribble, but it's the traveling calls. I think one of those Orlando games got called for three different traveling calls. Like, he's got to watch it, you know. And I just think the regression happened on that West Coast road trip. We all saw that stellar game against the Suns where they looked unbeatable. Everything was going down, but they haven't. They've got one win since that Laker game where they blew the 20-point lead and had to furiously rally to force overtime and then won in overtime because the Lakers got really tired because they're playing two guys who, you know, they're playing LeBron and AD real heavy minutes and those guys in Westbrook and those guys just got tired. But other than that, that's their last win in 2 weeks. Yeah. So I just think, just overall regression offensively in terms of, like, guys are just in slumps. Two, taking too many threes. Three, teams playing big against them. Also reading passing lanes. You know, things like that. Causing turnovers, turn them over. You know, 17 turnovers, 16 turnovers against the Pacers. It's like they couldn't even take care of bringing the ball down the court barely. In that first half against the Pacers, they were just inept. And then some of that stuff is, like, you know, trying to make the fantabulous pass in between two defenders that are closing, and it looks good if it works. It's not working. So they need to pretty much get back to basic ball, move the ball, get to the free throw line. Brad Stevens told us today, shoot, make some two-pointers. Get in the paint. Well, and honestly, Warren, I don't want to hear that's they're getting used to Robert Williams being back. Like, no.
No.
You don't add a better player and then struggle like this and say it's because the better a great player is with us, a great defender. Like, stop that. Like, I don't want to hear excuses. They're just not playing well. They got to get it together.
Yeah, I agree. I think what ends up happening is when we talked about this some couple episodes ago, the three-point shot is intoxicating. The offense was just going so well, and now they don't seem to be able to get the proverbial run stopper and say, you know what, I'm not going to shoot a three here. I'm going to take it to the basket, not one time, but two, three, four times in a row, you know, and try to get to the line and outside of Tatum. So in the last game versus Pacers, Tatum was, you know, basically trying to single-handedly bring the team back. Not to say that Brown didn't compliment him, but obviously it was Tatum's show. But getting those other guys who say, you know what, I'm not just going to settle, you know, for these shots. And I think it's rough to kind of see that from an offensive standpoint. So one of the conversations that we continue to have, or at least I continue to bring up, is, you know, Mazzulla. And I'm not saying he's doing a good, bad, or indifferent job, just trying to consistently evaluate as he's learning the team and learning the roster. What have you seen, you know, from his coaching on the sideline during these runs? And that Pacer game was rough. It was just absolutely, I don't know what's happening to start it. But what is his role, I think, in getting these guys ready? And what can he do better, even himself, on the sidelines to make sure that the ship is righted here offensively?
Yeah, Warren, I mean, I think the situation for Mazzulla is, like, he's got to figure it out on the fly, but he's also got to make some more sound decisions. Like, not like he's got to make stern decisions. Like, he can't – the whole, like, I'm not calling a timeout until things get really terrible. Like, he might need to change that up a little bit. Mm-hmm. He might need – to stop some of these runs. You know, the fans can see that they're playing terribly against Indiana. It got to the point of, like, Joe, do something. And maybe it's a situation where it's like, you're going to have to start benching some guys. Like, if they're not getting it done, not hustling back on defense, if they're complaining about officiating, if they let their man, like, you know, deny some playing time, you know? And then I'm not sure, quite honestly, like, Peyton Pritchard, he doesn't play much. Then he throws him in the starting lineup to replace Marcus Smart. Like, what do you expect out of Peyton? You know, when he's just like, well, what the hell? Like, now you're going to throw me in as a starter? You know, like, of course he's not going to be effective. He went, I think, one for four. You know, he wasn't very good. I mean, that starting backcourt, like, don't do that again. The starting backcourt of Derek White and Peyton Pritchard, like, that's not the work. That's not working. Like, don't do that. That's not scaring NBA teams. Like, you know, nothing against those two guys. Figure it out. He doesn't – I know – I guess, you know, he's at the point, like, Brogdon's going to be off the bench. He's not going to start Malcolm in under any circumstances or whatever. That's fine. That's what you – that's the role that you want to kind of have him as a sixth man for extraordinaire. That's good. But, like, I'd say the timeouts, and the guys aren't hustling – you know, put some guys in there who are going to hustle. And, you know, I just think he's got to be – and then create some different – some sets, some different looks that allows some of his guys to get easier shots. Because now we're back to Jason's trying to get himself going. Jalen's trying to get himself going. You know, okay, Jalen, you take the ball in this possession, I'll watch. Okay, you know, okay, Jason, I took the last shot. Here, you take the next shot. Like, that's too predictable. That was last year. You remember that, Warren? I got, you know, hey, we'll split shots. You go now. Okay, now you go now. Like, no. Set some screens. Backdoor cut. You know, do some stuff that, like, teams don't expect. You know, get to the free throw line. To me, they just need kind of a makeover. You know, the three ball is great, but you can fall in love with it, and it can leave you in the morning. You get up in the morning, and that three pointer is packed his suitcases and gotten the hell out.
Yes, sir.
And with no goodbye note, right? And you end up Where is it? Where's my, you know, you can't always rally with threes. Sometimes you got to get to the line. And you got to put more emphasis on defense. Like, their defense against Indiana was inexcusable. Like, I don't know what scouting report they didn't read, but Tyrese Halliburton's a good shooter. It looks
quirky. Funky.
It looks quirky. He shoots from the hip. It's not a conventional jump shot. It goes in. So you let him step into, you let him get hot. You let him just, okay. You want to do that? You want to go on the screen? You don't want to cover me out here? You know, now if he's hitting 35 foot, if he's Steph Currying, then okay. But if he's staying at the line and you just let him release, he was hot and he burned you. It's like, do you not read the scouting report? Like, I didn't understand it. I don't understand how guys like Nembhard were able to get into the paint and shoot. Like, it was Markelle Fultz. Then, like, little guys are getting into the paint and releasing, like, little 8-9-footers. Like, no one's blocking this. Like, what? How is Nembhard? There's a couple shots. You know, you watch Indiana. He beat the shot clock. He just dribbled to the paint. Like, oh, easy release. Dude, you're 6 feet. He should not be able to
get that off
against a good NBA defense in the paint. You do not see Peyton Pritchard dribbling in, backing in, and just, oh, I'll just shoot my little J here. Any NBA player is going to make that, and especially a guy like Nembhard, who I'm sure has practiced shooting against bigger players, so he knows how to get his shot off. So you got to, like, that's some of the stuff I didn't understand. The Markelle Fultz stuff, I didn't understand. You know, you stop him from getting to the rim, so you just let him shoot a fadeaway. Like, most NBA players are going to make that shot. So I think it's both, all levels, defense, offense. But I think Missoula needs to come up with some different sets and some different looks for his team to get different type of shots and to get them going. And just realize that if you jump out to a 10-2 lead, the other team just isn't going to quit. Like, remember, they jumped out to an 8-2 lead against the Pacers. Okay, we're ready. The Pacers punched back. They jumped out to, a 12-4 or 12-2 lead against the Magic in the first game. The Magic fought, like, NBA teams ain't fazed by that. So you can't win the game with 2 good minutes. Like, that's not going to work. You know, you can punch first and jump out. That's really cool, but you got to finish it.
Boston 3-5 in their last 8 games, and as Gary alluded to, a lot, you know, not going the way that we would have hoped or would have thought, especially for the way that they started out. You know, to kind of see this regression has been really, really difficult. Yes, they're bringing Robert Williams back into the fold, so to speak. But as Gary alluded to, that's not a reason for this to be that it has. And again, they just stopped sharing the ball in the same way. The passing is not at the level that it once was, and the shooting has definitely evaded them here in these last couple of weeks. So now we turn our attention to the Celtics now, and what is kind of a pseudo rivalry in the Eastern Conference with the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, now another Christmas Day game against this team. Milwaukee still riding high, and they've faced multiple injuries. I know Boston's had some guys in that lineup as well too, but Holiday's missed significant time. Milton is, I'm not even sure if he's going to play, you know, on Christmas here. Obviously, we're recording here today, kind of the Minnesota game. But in general, I think what you've alluded to in the beginning of this is, hey, size is going to bother this team. Well, here comes one of the biggest effing teams in the entire league with size and length and skill at all positions. What are you looking for out of this Christmas Day game? Hey, we're not going to get into the whole message situation, but I think right now Boston needs to send a message to themselves and understand, like, how do you get back on the winning page? And beating a team of the Bucks caliber, I think, would going a long way to riding the proverbial ship to some degree. What needs to happen here other than, they just need to play harder? Giannis, you can't necessarily neutralize him per se, but Brooke Lopez is a menace. He's such a problem, you know, against all teams, but specifically against Boston. What are you going to be looking for the Celtics to do specifically here to try to get a W here on Christmas Day?
Yeah, Warren, I just think of play a complete game, like play hard, 48 minutes, give your Christmas home fans something to cheer about. I just think, I don't even know if it's like, okay, they need to really win this game. Like, it's not that important. It's Christmas Day. The Celtics lost to the Bucks in Milwaukee last year on Christmas Day, still made the finals. So this is not life or death. But one, show the folks how you're going to defend Giannis, play a complete game, and play hard the entire way. And I think the fans and I think people will be satisfied with that, because I don't think over the last week or so, Warren, they have played hard at all times. They just haven't. I think they thought we get a break against Orlando, a bad team with one road win. Remember, Warren, one road win coming into that two-game set, and they literally beat them twice, and they took them lightly, and they paid for it. And quite honestly, the Magic made plays. Paolo Banchero hit 6 threes in that last Sunday game. His season high had been for game 3. Okay, he had hit 24 threes coming into that game, and he was a 27.6% three-point shooter. He hit 6. That's what happens when you cheat the game. Players from the other team make plays.
Yeah.
Admiral Schofield entered that game, 13 threes all year. He hit 3 in 9 minutes, which were critical big threes for the – like, big threes. That won him – I thought Schofield's threes won him the game. Like, that's what happens when you cheat the game. Guys who don't
– Hold on. Let me interrupt you real quick on that, and only from the aspect of, like – because, like, you're there, you're seeing it, right? And we're watching in, so to speak.
Yeah.
Does a team like Orlando see that? Do they feel that as well too? Like, I know Indiana, this actually happened at the Pacers a couple of weeks ago when Brooklyn had 8 guys out, and then, you know,
yeah,
Brooklyn scored like 150 points.
They got taken lightly. And then guys who, like, you know, of course, you're going to leave Admiral Schofield alone. Like, the scouting report tells you Banchero's not a good three-point shooter. But on that day, he was. That's what I always call it, like, the Luka factor. Okay? Luka is what, 34% three-point shooter? Okay, he's not a 40-plus. He's not Steph.
Right.
But there are those nights that Luka is Steph, can be Steph. He could hit 7 of them. He could hit one on one leg. He can hit them backwards. Like, it's just that night. And your defense has to adjust. Yeah. You can't stick to the game plan and say, well, Banchero started out strong. And he finished strong. It was just – these guys practice. Like, I think the people think because you're a bad shooter, three-point shooter, you don't practice threes. Marcus Smart practices them relentlessly. For whatever reason, he just isn't good at it. So the best he'll be probably 36, 37% on a good day. But we've seen Marcus hit 10 threes in a game, right? Bad shooting Marcus. We've seen erratic Marcus just bam, that one day. Your defense has to adjust. The Celtics, Nesta Mazzulla's fault, didn't adjust to Banchero and didn't adjust Schofield. It was 84-80 Celtics, okay? They had just taken a 4. So if they get it, it was like maybe 4 minutes left, something like that. If they get a stop and then they get up 6 on a bad team, then you can probably see the frustration and the Celtics win a tough one. What happened? Admiral Schofield, who had already hit 2 threes, walks up and just takes another one unguarded. Swish! He was feeling it. Sometimes you've got to adjust your defense to that. And sometimes the Celtics, I think, too much don't respect their opponent. And during this streak, haven't respected their opponent for some of the things that they can do. And you've got to do that. That Orlando game, like, not knowing about, like, I don't know, not reading the scouting report about Tyrese Halliburton. Like, what are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? Not really, like Banchero. It was one of those days of really a dude who's going to be a really, really good player in this league was hot. You've got to adjust your defense. Okay, because he was feeling him. He was hitting him guarded, unguarded. He was coming up. There was one he hit like 30. It was probably like 28, 29 feet. I was like, man. Yeah. Then I looked at his numbers.
Now he's out here heat checking, right?
Yes. So. And I looked at his numbers, like, hold up. He had 24 in like 21 games before this. And he's a 27% shooter. It's the Luka factor.
Yeah.
You know, you've watched Luka do what he's done against the Celtics. And then you look at Luka's three-point numbers, 33.9. You're like, wait a minute.
That's not the same guy that plays against us. Yeah.
Yes. But he morphs into Steph. The same thing, you know. And then I'll go back to the Warriors game, Warren, not respecting Klay Thompson. You going to let Klay shoot mid-range? Do you know this dude? Have you seen this guy hit mid-range? He's going to let him do the drop coverage and let him hit from 16? He'll kill you with that. No wonder he had 34 points. You know what I'm saying? So it's adjusting the game plan. It's respecting your opponent. And it's not feeling like we got this. We can just come back with a three ball. Like, no. We'll see what happens before we're, you know, taping, how they defend Anthony Edwards, how they defend a guy like Jalen Noel, you know, and we'll see against Milwaukee. Yeah, they know Giannis, yep, they know how to defend him and Middleton. But what about Pat Connaughton? George Hill always kills him. Like, adjusting your game plan sometimes to that game and that situation. Banchero won them that game, that Sunday game, with those six threes and so, like, nine threes from Schofield and Banchero. That's when the basketball gods, and that's it could be a terminology, not, but that's when they're burning your ass because you're not playing the game right. No. Because you gave up, that won't happen again all year. I'll predict that. Those two guys in the same game, Warren, won't combine for nine 3-pointers.
Yeah. If there was a Vegas line, I would definitely take the
safe bet, right? We'll put plus 1,200 that would happen, you know, plus 2,000 or whatever.
But in the moment, you got to recognize it, right? Yeah. And I think that's what the situation is, right? And, you know, it's funny because I believe it was that – was it Jalen Noel last year in Minnesota who
– Yeah, got on him, got in him.
I remember watching that game. I was like, what is happening
right now? And what's the guy? Nathan Knight, right? The kid from –
Oh, right. Yeah,
like was like Shaq in the paint, like – That's the kind of stuff that happened to last year's team. Like, let's see if they become sharp enough to prevent that stuff from happening.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, all great points here. I think the theme for this one here as we head into holiday season is respect the game, Boston Celtics, because, you know, people are they're not afraid. And I think that was the biggest thing I had coming into this, kind of taking more of a philosophical conversation. But, you know, when they got off to the hot start, I just kind of still felt like, well, while they've looked dominant, I don't feel like they're scary. And I think there were things that teams could potentially do to make the games closer than they were. And now you're seeing that, right? The size and then even the Celtics in themselves getting a little bit big for their own britches, so to speak. But they still are a talented basketball team. And you would hope, in essence, that especially in a Christmas Day game against the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, have, you know, two-time MVP and final champion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that there'll be none of that. Like, you'll know what it is. Doesn't matter what's happening, adjust to what's going on. So if Grayson Allen all of a sudden is getting hot, well, you need to go out there and release that. You know what I mean? Close that out and make him put it on the ground and not let him just camp out from the three-point line or whatever's happening. Bobby Portis, expected to be big on the glass, you know, and do a lot of things too. You're going to have to be physical with these guys as they are extremely and probably the most physical team in the NBA. So you cannot finesse your way, you know, through a win against the Milwaukee Bucks. So, we'll kind of close out here with this one last thing, you know, and obviously, again, we kind of skipped over the Minnesota situation, and then they'll go into next week, a couple games against Houston and the Clippers, you know, try to get a revenge game against them. We may record before that actually even comes up in general, but is the theme just, you just want to see effort? Because I mean, I think what you said is like, win or lose, more than anything else, you want to see them play a complete game. Losing to the Bucks is no, you know, it's not an indictment in any capacity, right? But you want to see them play a complete game and just have it be competitive in some capacity. Is that kind of what we're saying?
Yeah, the talent's there, and basketball's a game of ebbs and flows. We know that, Warren. So Sam Hauser is not a 25% 3-point shooter. Derek White's going to be better. Grant Wayne, like, they're all going to be better. Okay, now it might not be as high as they were when they went 21-4. Or whatever, or 18-4, 21-5. But we all know the offense will improve. So continue to play good, strong defense, and then 100% effort. Dive for loose balls, the 50-50 balls. Quit allowing offensive rebounds. Like, Markel Fultz won Orlando that game too, as well as Banchero and Schofield. By grabbing those late offensive rebounds. Like, you know, the Celtics not hustling, ball watching, you know. Get on, you know, hustle, play with your hair on fire. You know, that means Jason and Jalen too. You know, quit.
Is there anybody outside of those two who you're looking to maybe do more? Because obviously they take the lion's share of the shots, score the lion's share of the points.
Marcus, I know, like he was out for the Indiana game. He's got to be better. He hasn't been himself for a while. And I don't know if that's nursing injuries, the quad thing he was battling, but he hasn't been himself for a while. I mean, he needs to be that guy that can get you maybe on occasion 18 points. You know, dig in on the post, hit that little left-handed hook. Like, I think, you know, he's got to be better.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy, and then, you know, Al's going to be up and down. You know, you can't expect a whole lot because Al's 36. Like, you know, you don't want to expect him to beat 30-year-old Al, you know. And I need to see more from Brogdon. I think Brogdon's been good offensively, but he hasn't finished as I thought he could. He's taken some key threes. The other night he had one key three and completely airballed it.
Can I ask you something? And because you're around them, right? And listen, I'm a professional, covered the league for a while myself as well too, but not in the depth that you have. Is Brogdon happy? Is he cool? I mean, his demeanor is always kind of even keel, so to speak.
Yeah, very serious guy.
Yeah, is there a level of contentment?
As long as they're winning. You know, I don't think he's like, I should be Marcus. Like, I don't think he's like, I should be number one, I should be starting. But I think that we're seeing kind of at times his limits. Like, he does get blocked at the rim. You know, he's a good shooter, and he's done that. He can take over, but we also have seen the turnovers. Like, he's had some unsavory turnovers during this streak. I think he's fine, and I think that, you know, they've probably told him, you're coming off the bench. Like, we're not going to, you know, herky-jerky you in the starting lineup here. We're not doing that. We're going to play you a particular role, 30 minutes, and, you know, that'll work out for you. And I think it has. I think they've been impressed with what he's done.
All right. Well, hopefully Boston will be able to turn things around, at least just from an effort standpoint. And then, you know, try to turn some wins, you know, into the column here too, as they're starting to gain ground. The Bucks have caught them. The Celtics are starting to fall being caught by the Cavs. Brooklyn is catching up.
The Nets, the Knicks, like the East is catching up. Like it was, as we remember, way back when, about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, right.
It was the Celtics and Bucks, and everybody else was lagging behind. The Sixers won like 5-6 in a row. The Knicks won 7 in a row. The Nets won 7 in a row. So the East, the middle of the East, and I think even Miami has won like 4 in a row or something like that, 4 or 5. So the middle of the East is starting to catch them, you know, like Cleveland's a half game behind as we air.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, as bad as the Celtics beat them and they looked, Brooklyn is a game and a half back. So the Celtics better start picking up some dubs. I mean, it would do them. You don't want, Warren, all of what you worked hard for in the first 25 games to be zapped in like 12 games.
Right.
So, and that's what they're working on now.
Well, hopefully the Boston Celtics will be able to turn things around. We will definitely be back with you at some point next week to discuss the outcome of the Bucks game and everything kind of continuing to happen with, you know, the Boston Celtics. So for Believe in Celtics, he is Gary Washburn. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at, you know, @GWashburnGlow. Follow me on Twitter at @ShawSportsNBA. This has been another edition of Believe in Celtics. Not as cheery as we wanted to be here on the Happy Holidays edition, but we still wish you and yours a happy holidays. We will definitely catch y'all next week. Again, Believe in Celtics, brought to you by Bet Online. Catch y'all. Peace.